What's so bad about the first past the post system as it exists today?
I think we need a couple of days to do this, but it's actually the worst system that we could have. It's the most dysfunctional system. As applied in Canada, we're the most dysfunctional democracy in the world. In terms of how people, their intentions for their votes, and what we actually end up with. The fact of the matter is, the majority of us, most of the time, do not elect the governments that we get. For example, 55% of us did not vote for Mike Harris, or did not want Mike Harris. Mm-hmm. So the majority did not vote for Mike Harris. As the popular mythology is, he got a majority, therefore, you people who voted for him, you're responsible for whatever happened. But the fact of the matter is, the majority of people did not vote for Mike Harris, and the majority of people never voted for Jean Chrétien. In fact, Jean Chrétien, in his first mandate, I think he got 37%.
To be fair, though, there have been a few occasions in Canadian history, federally, where we actually have had the majority vote for the party that ended up with the majority of the seats. But I gather that's that seldom actually happens, and definitely not so much recently.
No, the last time was Mulroney, and I think that was 50.5% that he got. And that was over 20 years ago.
And does this take into consideration the number of people who choose, for whatever reason, to not participate in elections?
We're not talking about people who are not participating. What I'm talking about, these are actually people who have gone out to vote and dropped their ballots in the box, and the majority of their votes do not contribute to getting anybody elected. These are called wasted votes in political parlance, and they're basically of no use. But I think people deep down sense that their votes are not counting. And I think that, and we think, the people who are adherents of proportional representation think that the cause is that we don't have a fair voting system, and people sense their votes are not counting, and so less and less are turning out to vote. And of the eligible voters, not the registered voters, but of the eligible voters, only 54%. And then a small proportion of them elect the government. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty abysmal.
Does the first-past-the-post system discourage a wider range of opinions among political parties, if not individuals as well? Is that fair?
I don't know if you can lay that on first-past-the-post. I'm sure some political scientists would have an opinion on that. I don't think we can necessarily lay that at the first, I suppose. But each party that we have tends to be this big tent to bring everybody in. And I think maybe there might be some truth in that, because there's a leveling out of opinion. So if the party that's the big tent party that gets 30 to 45% of the vote and takes the majority, there's a leveling out of opinion, and you're not getting a variety, like you're not getting any Greens in there like you would in Europe. Most of Europe has proportional representation. So you're not getting that kind of diversity of thought. And because it's not proportional to how people vote, you're not seeing them in Parliament. So you're not getting that good debate, good discussion. So I think there's a certain amount of truth in that.
So it's true that most countries that we regard as democracies already have some form of proportional representation?
Most of the so-called industrial democracies, the ones we do regard as democracies, most of them have some kind of proportional representation. That's 75 countries across the world, and this is largely the European countries and some countries in South America, but most of the European countries have this. So countries like Sweden, Denmark, Finland, Germany, New Zealand, for example, has had it for 10 years. Even Scotland and Wales have just switched over in the last 5 years or so to a proportional representation. Ireland has a form of proportional representation, and only England, of Great Britain, only England is left with the first past the post, the old Westminster first past the post system. So of the major democracies, it's basically England, Canada, the United States, and India.
I can infer somewhat from what you're saying that the current system works in favor of the existing ruling parties. First of all, you'd agree with that assessment, I guess?
Well, yeah, because they're getting a bonus. You know, they certain to get past 40-45% of the vote, then they get a bonus from the voting system that tips them over into the majority. So it's easy enough to get into the 50% majority mark if you're getting around 35-45% of the vote. I think Mulroney with 50.5, I think he got up to 75% of the seats. And sometimes you get wild fluctuations where some parties will take all the seats practically on a minority of the vote. I think here in Ontario, most of the seats went to went to the Liberal Party in the last federal election and on about 50% of the vote.
Much to the chagrin of quite a few people, I imagine.
Well, apparently more people voted for the Alliance Party in Ontario than they did out west, but they didn't get any seats.
Assuming that this is true, then, that it works in favor of the existing major, I guess nationally it's the Conservatives and Liberals, what's the impetus to change to a system of proportional representation? Do you get what I'm driving at?
Well, they wouldn't want to change. Parties in power don't want to change, usually. Only, for example, Gordon Campbell in B.C., when he was, he got penalized. He actually got a popular vote majority at one in one election and lost the election. And I think when he was on the outs, he decided to change the system. So that's how you get it changed, usually. The party is vulnerable or been damaged by it, and then they make a promise to change the system. And, of course, the McGuinty Liberals here in Ontario are promising to give us a referendum to change the system. In fact, there's been some talk about moving towards a citizens' assembly in the fall to look at this, the same as they have in BC right now.
So this is likely to occur on the provincial level before we see that kind of a change in federal politics.
Five provinces have promised some kind of a process. You know, they're not promising proportional representation. They're promising a referendum and an education process. You need an education process because it's a complex. I mean, it's so different from what we're using that, you know, you need time for people to discuss it and, you know, make a decision if they want to change or don't want to change. But the Law Commission of Canada, after a year of studying the issue, came out about a month ago in favor of a type of proportional representation.
Okay, so how would the political landscape in Canada be likely to change under a system of proportional representation?
Well, I don't think you'd get this regional disparity in the same way that you'd see the West all one party and the East all one party. You'd see if the popular vote reflected in the seats. And actually, we really don't know how it would work out because people are voting strategically now, and so you can't really take what we're seeing now and translate that into actual seats, because when people know they can vote sincerely rather than strategically, they may shift more dramatically than we think.
So people might, for example, vote for a Green Party candidate if they had a little more confidence that, or any other minor party, if they had more confidence that those people would actually get a seat.
Yeah, that's the theory.
So would there be maybe more seats? Like I'm curious about the intricacies. Would there be different? Would the electoral ridings map be redrawn? How does the change come about exactly?
Well, we're talking about that now, but we're an advisory body and we make suggestions for what would be a good characteristics of a proportional system. But there are several ways of doing it. The traditional way in Europe is they take large geographic areas and they have multi-members in them. So you might have an area that would be comprised of what we have now is 15 ridings, would be maybe 15 people, and everybody has a list. And when you go into the ballot, you marking your ballot, you'll have a list of several names on that, different parties, and you choose the party, and then in choosing the party, you just choose the party's list of names. Some people have open lists and closed lists. Some have completely open lists where you write in the names of people. Others, the list is drawn up by the party. But we don't think that large multi-member districts will work well here. And some people are in favor of the system they have in Germany, New Zealand, Scotland, and Wales, where you keep your riding, but you also vote off a list as well for the party. My stepdaughter, who lives in New Zealand, and she goes to vote, she has two votes. One for the local person in her riding, which is the constituency vote, and one is for the party. And in New Zealand, it's more or less equally divided. They have half the members of parliament come from the ridings, and half of them come from the list. And what the list does, they take off the list to compensate for the disproportionality that comes from the ridings. So in New Zealand, if in Germany, in the case of my stepdaughter, for example, if she voted for the local person, say, was a conservative, and she liked that person because they're a really good ward person, they do a lot of work in the wards, but she likes the equivalent of the Green Party. And say overall in the country, 10% of the votes, party votes, come from the Green Party, go to the Green Party, but they don't get any seats, but they get the top 10 people taken off their party list to go to Parliament. So these are list members of Parliament. Another party may get 5 seats for ridings, but they get 10% in the party list, so they get 5 taken off the party list in order to make them up to their 10%. It compensates for the disproportionality that comes from the first-past-the-post part of it.
It sounds
complicated.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say, but I'm guessing that also inferred in that is that it would encourage people to become more politically aware, which is arguably a problem that we have here with so many people not participating in the process at all.
Well, I think Henry Milner, a political scientist from McGill, wrote an interesting book called Civic Literacy, and he notes that the civic literacy, meaning knowledge of your civic process and government and all that and how it works, is very low in Canada and the United States, whereas in a lot of European countries it's quite high. You know, people read a lot of newspapers. They discuss a lot of politics. They're very interested in what's going on. And it may be a cultural thing, but it may be a factor of our voting system. It may be. We don't know. The voting system is not a panacea. It reflects the culture. It could indicate that people are disengaged because their votes are not counting, and then if they knew their votes counted, they may be more interested in the political process and what's happening. They may feel more ownership of it. Again, it's a cultural thing, so we don't quite know how that's going to shake out. But I personally believe that Canadians aren't all that apathetic. They care, but, you know, why would you care if your vote doesn't count?
Yeah, 40% of people, according to a recent poll, are expected to not cast a ballot. And this is 40% of registered voters, I gather, from that poll. That's an enormous number. That's a larger segment of the eligible registered voters than will likely vote for either of the parties that are
that's another way of looking at it, but yeah, that's right.
Also inferred in what you're saying is that there are varying degrees of proportional representation.
Yeah, it depends on the countries. Like, I think, and it depends how it's structured, but you have to have a certain number of lists seats. At least a third of the seats should be list seats in order to get a reasonable proportionality. 50-50 is good because then, you know, you get almost complete compensation and you get almost pure proportionality. But we probably won't get that because we got a lot of constitutional complexities. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, PEI is guaranteed 4 seats. With a very small population. But that's part of the grandfather clause in the Constitution. There's other constitutional issues around Quebec as well. So, I mean, our system is not going to be pure or anything like that. But, you know, we could have a quite a good proportional system, even with all the complexities of our Constitution and our environment. You know, we have issues with large ridings, large geographical areas, dense urban areas. The urban people, 70% of them take polls. They don't know the name of their MP, the member of parliament. They vote based on the party, not on the member of parliament. Where in rural areas here, they care more about who the person is that is actually in that riding, and they know the name of their representative. So there's a lot of differences that have to be looked at when you're designing a system. Doesn't mean to say any of this is not insurmountable. If, you know, we have a will, and we will benefit a lot by changing. It's not just political representation, but, you know, non-political representation, representation of women, representation of visible minorities, Aboriginals, will really benefit by changing as well.
Is there a shining example on the world stage of a country where proportional representation has turned out for the better?
I would say a goodly number of most of the European countries are doing it, are satisfied. If they do satisfaction levels, and we had a guy from Denmark give us a lecture, and it's way up in the 70s. People are relatively happy with their government. If you do the same satisfaction levels for Canadians, it's way down in the tank, like around 30%. So people are not satisfied with our system, and over there, they're satisfied. So no system is perfect. No system is ever going to be perfect. But it tends to solve a lot of the problems that we have right now. So I think people in Sweden and Finland and Denmark and Germany, I think they're reasonably happy with their system. I believe the New Zealanders are. I think they're happier than where they were before. So, but the systems are designed for the culture, and there's minor variations in how they do it. And they adapt it to what's important to them. So I don't think there's necessarily a shining example, but I do think we would be a lot happier if we have switched over to a proportional system.
What kind of activities are you engaged in to bring about this change that we could say the people that hold political power currently are not willing to see happen necessarily?
As I talked to you today, a group of us were out flyering at a demonstration at Queen's Park on taxpayers, the Taxpayers Association. A number of us were out flyering there. A number of us were flyering at the corner of Avenue Road and Bloor, and they were being taped by the CTC. There was a chapter meeting, Toronto chapter meeting today that I just came from, and we were taped by CTC discussing with a young fellow who doesn't want to vote, and he's been sent out by the CBC to visit various community groups to see what he can learn about voting. So we had this meeting just tonight. Right now, because election's on, it's a good time to focus on this issue and get politicians to agree to it. So we're going to all candidates' meetings. We're flyering outside. We're asking questions in all candidates' meetings. We're writing op-ed pieces, letters. I had a letter in last week and the week before in papers. Anything we can do, we meet with our candidates and talk to them. I'm going to meet with my candidate next week with two other members of the riding to discuss voting system reform and trying to convince him that it would be a good thing for us to have. But basically how they got it in New Zealand was one person at a time. It's citizens' movement. And it's like an epidemic, right? You talk to one person, that person talks to another. And it seems to me that this is one way of doing it, is to educate and inform Canadians of how unfair the system is. And it's very unfair to women because 20% of the seats. And we're losing seats. After this election, there'll probably be less women sitting in the House of Commons. So that's very undemocratic.